Thanks, Paul. I wonder if before I get into Jeremiah in a couple of minutes' time, if we might have one of the two little videos that hopefully we should be able to show, just to give you a little idea of the context of the work of Novimost in Chaplina.
Hi, Bromsgrove.
Hi, Bromsgrove.
So we are in sunny Chaplina.
Yeah.
And we are going to take you inside our youth centre so you can see what a Saturday morning looks like.
From Come along.
So lots of different activities. So playing table football. Put yours for on the guitar. We'll take you upstairs. We've got some table tennis happening.
Having a great time.
And the second one, please.
Hi, guys.
Hi. Hello.
Girls, can you tell me your name?
I'm Anna.
I'm Jesper.
Nice to meet you.
How long have you been coming to Novimost?
I've been coming here like for a half year,
maybe a year.
Okay, and what do you like about Novimost?
I love that we all can hang out because I have a lot of friends here and we learn new stuff because we have a fun night, so it's been a great time for me. Yeah.
Everything, like we travel a lot and we learn a lot of things about God and everything else in
okay.
life.
Cool. And have you made new friends here?
Yeah.
Yes, of course.
Okay. And is there anything else you'd like to add?
I would like to add that I would like to be here like when I get older, so I would like to be here because it's fun for me. Yeah.
You want to be in Novimost forever.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, bye.
That's great. 1996, a couple of people from our church in Nottingham went to Spring Harvest and heard an appeal on behalf of the people in Bosnia-Herzegovina because of the war and the atrocities that have been taking place in the early 1990s. And our church responded by wanting to send some aid out. And then someone had a bright idea that wouldn't it be great if we could actually take it ourselves. And because I was the youth pastor of the church at St. Nick's in Nottingham at the time, and being a little bit lax on health and safety in those days, i.e. there wasn't any, we thought it might be nice to take some of the young people with us. So myself and a lady called Linda drove a minibus with provisions and blankets and four young people into basically a war-torn country. And it changed all of our lives and it changed the life of our church. And we didn't realise that there were still landmines that were very much active at the time. But we managed to come back alive and to live to tell the tale. And we've been involved with Novimost ever since. And it's been my privilege over the years to be able to share with different churches what we do as an organisation, as a charity. And the first thing I'd want to say before anything else really is thank you. Thank you to Paul and to all of you for supporting Novimost. You may say a prayer for the people of Bosnia-Herzegovina. You might give some money. You might read the literature and think about people. Whatever it is that you do, on whatever level it is, thank you. Because as Becca was saying before, there's actually more people in this church here now than there is in their church in the whole of the town of Chaplina. It's a very small church, so they need as much encouragement and help as they can get. I'm going to say a little bit more about what they do and how we can pray for them in a few moments' time. But I wanted to now turn to the passage that Paul asked me to bring to you this morning from Jeremiah chapter 29. So if you've got your iPads and your iPhones and your eye patches or whatever it is, I'm just going to read from verse 10 in chapter 29. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I've banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. Tremendous words of hope. And I wanted to just mention three things very briefly this morning. Restoration is something that you've heard a fair bit about in recent weeks. Redemption and rejuvenation. God's heart, God's purpose is to restore. That is his mission. You've looked at Peter last week and how it was taking someone who was absolutely broken apart, the way that he let his Lord and Saviour down, his best friend, and the way that Jesus was able to absolutely restore Peter, not just to the person that he was, but to the person that the church would be founded on for generations and centuries to come. But it's not just a restoration for individuals. Individuals make up a church, and God's heart is also to restore churches, to restore families, to restore areas perhaps that are dry, that are needing his touch. And then God's heart is also to restore nations. Beha is still a broken nation. I wonder this morning whether it is any more broken than the United Kingdom. It's a difficult time in this country, isn't it? We don't really know what God's purpose is through all the uncertainty and the problems of government with Brexit and so on. And it's very easy to perhaps lose sight of what God's purpose might be, what God's plans might be, as we get involved in all the arguing and the discussions about whether we should be in, whether we should be out, who we should be in with and who we should be without. And the fact that we came last in the Eurovision Song Contest says it all, doesn't it, really, as to how people see us. But God has a plan to restore nations. And God has a plan to restore Beha. The difference between our country and that country in many ways is the history, the heritage. We don't realise how lucky, how blessed we are. That how long has this church been in existence for? 362 years, okay. The church that Becca and Ivica go to, that they were speaking to us from this morning, has only been in existence in the last half of the 20th century. It's a very, very new church. But if you go elsewhere in Beha, you won't find old churches that have been around for 360 years. There aren't any. They don't exist, not Christian churches. There's no real deep foundations of faith. Now, in some ways, that's okay, because you can say, well, it's exciting and it's all about the future. Yes, in a way it is, and what God might be doing in that country and in countries around the world. We mentioned about China and in Nigeria and so on, in South America, where the gospel is reaching millions and millions of people, and the numbers of people coming to know Jesus are increasing. But actually the problem is that there, as like with any kind of bush or tree, if there are no deep roots, it doesn't take an awful lot for that to be, for the bush or the tree to be killed. And one of the things, if you remember nothing else from this morning, one of the things that I'd ask you to do is just to pray that God can not only restore Beha, but that the roots for the Christians there, for the church there, can go so deep that in 300 years' time, the church is still in existence there. It is one of the poorest and least evangelized countries in the whole of Europe, and actually in the world. And yet it's only, how long does it take to get to Croatia? About 2.5 hours. And Bosnia is just to the east of Croatia. So it takes a little bit longer to get there because there's no decent roads, but we're still only talking about 3 hours. Not very far away at all. And if you're trying to think on a map, you're going from Italy, you're going towards Russia and that direction. The first country that you'll come to is Croatia, down the coast, because they've got all the rich bits. And then just inland from there, after you get the mountains of Bosnia and Herzegovina, when they did the Winter Olympics in 1984 with Torvald and Dean in Sarajevo, that's Bosnia. It's a country that had its heart ripped out in the 1990s during the war from the former Yugoslavia. And in many ways, it's never recovered. I remember ringing my bank when I was going to visit a couple of years ago and trying to find some currency. And I spoke to the person on the end of the phone, who seemed fairly knowledgeable, and I said, I'm looking to get some currency for Bosnia-Herzegovina. And he said, where? I said, Bosnia-Herzegovina. Is that a country? I said, yeah. He said, were they in the Eurovision Song Contest? And that was the only thing he could relate to it at all. That's the only way that he'd heard of it. But the 1990s, Bosnia and Herzegovina was part of the divide-up of Yugoslavia. And to say it had its heart ripped out is a massive understatement. It's a very poor country, and yet a very beautiful country, and some fantastic people who live there. But very few Christians, as we were saying, between 400 and 500 people in the whole of the country. And they're struggling in many ways, because there's no proper opportunities for young people to get work and to make something of their lives. So what is happening across the country there is, if a young person has any opportunity at all, they get out. They go somewhere else. They go to Scandinavia, to Germany, to Austria. Some come over here to the UK, because there's nothing for them there. There are no jobs for young people there, unless you know a government official who might be able to get you on the sly. So the unemployment rate is the worst for young people in the whole world. It runs at just under 70%. Or just under 70% of all the young people under the age of 35 are unemployed. And as a result of that, as the young people who do have opportunity, or perhaps a little bit of money, as they go to other countries, it's leaving behind a vacuum of skills and communities. And as I'll be sharing in a moment, that has all kinds of other impacts as well. So what Novimost has been trying to do right from the start is to bring restoration and hope to a country that is not only torn apart, but isn't going anywhere. It's a funny word, isn't it, hope? We kind of think in terms of hoping that something might happen. When you've got nothing, then hope is everything. And for some of the young people there, it seems that the only way that they're going to have any kind of hope for the future is actually to leave Bosnia-Herzegovina behind. Now, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to understand that if you have young Christians in Beja who decide that their only future is to move to Sweden, to Germany, to the UK, whatever, who's left behind? There's no one. Because eventually, the older people, like myself, will die out. And there will not be a church left in that country. I don't believe that that is God's plan for Beja, any more than it is for our own country. And so what I'm going to ask you to do and to encourage you to do, and thank you again for all the prayers that you've given for that country and the people there, but is to pray for them. This is a long haul. This isn't something that is going to get solved overnight. There needs to be investment and there needs to be governments that are stable in the country that allow young people the hope to stay where they are and to use the skills they have. But if they have a skill and they don't have a job, how are they meant to survive? There's no such thing as going to the unemployment office in Bosnia. There isn't the equivalent of that. So if you don't have a job, you have no money, then you have two choices. You either starve or you steal. They're not great choices, are they? So there's a huge black market, and there are a lot of people that are so disenchanted with living there that they get up and go somewhere else. As I said, God's heart is to restore. Why is his heart to restore? Well, the second part of this is that he wants to redeem the earth. He wants to redeem all people. And we have to believe that that includes little countries with 400 Christians just as much as it does our own and the United States with their 118 million and China and so on. Surely his heart is for all nations. We were singing in the song before that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. That includes Bosnian people, surely. And yet we have an obligation as part of the church family to be supporting and praying for them, that they not only survive, but they thrive, that that is their hope, that the churches like Beka and Ivica's will grow, not just slowly die because everyone is leaving. It's such a fragile country and a fragile church there, as I say, with no real roots in history. Verse 10 of Jeremiah 29 says this. It says, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back. God's heart for redemption and restoration is that he will hear the cries of his people. And he will meet with them and he will come to them. Sometimes we don't feel the strength to look after ourselves, and sometimes we have to look after others. And part of this is to be able to pray for others who are in great need. We want to pray that God will raise up young people and young leaders in that country to lead the church there. We can pray on their behalf. We can stand in the gap for them and intercede for them. When when God says, I will come to you, he promises he will give the resources and the life that is needed. And the final thing is, if God's heart is to restore and to redeem the world, he wants to also bring life, rejuvenation to the areas that are dry and the areas that perhaps are dead. And this is where those words that we use many times from this passage are really important. For I have plans for you, plans to prosper you, it says in verse 11. And I didn't want to just talk about the negatives and the problems in Beher. I wanted to perhaps end with some of the pockets of hope. Things that are happening that are good things. Things that we can be praying for but praise God for as well. For example, Novi Most not only exists in Chaplina in the south of the country, but also in Mostar a little bit further north, in Yaitse, which is in the mountains, and they do skiing and so on there, and then Sarajevo, the capital itself. And in Sarajevo, there is a church which is similar to Beker and Ivica's. And the young people there have produced their first worship album. Only instead of it being our songs and Hillsong and our regular Christian songs, they've written their own and they're in their own language. So they can go out and lead worship, perhaps only with small groups of people, but singing songs in their native tongue that God has inspired them to write from a heart of hope and restoration. Now, we might go there and not be able to join in very well with these songs, but trust me, this is a massive thing for those young people, because they sense that God is doing something in their lives that they can then write a love song to God, which is basically what a worship song can be, and then express it with other young people in places around them. Now, the thing that when I asked some of the leaders if they'd come back to me and say what's going on at the moment so that I could talk to you, they said that this album that they've recorded, they took the songs from that to a place called Novi Sad, which some of you may have heard of from the 1990s. Novi Sad is in Serbia, or it's in Republika Srpska. It's just between Bosnia and the north. Now, that is a pretty huge step to actually find Christians in that place anyway is pretty unusual. But to take Bosnian young Christians singing Bosnian songs that they've written themselves into another country and blessing them there, you have no idea how amazingly encouraging that is for the young people in Sarajevo. So we thank God and we praise God that they've had the opportunity to do that. The worship's been great this morning. I used to lead the worship at the Christian Union at Sheffield University, and there's, to me, no greater privilege than being able to lead people in worship. But the way that you can sense that God is rejuvenating you by his Holy Spirit to lead people in worship is a fantastic thing. So to get these young people, just a tiny, tiny proportion of people in that country worshipping God in their native tongue. Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. It might be in Bosnian, it might be in Chinese, whatever. It doesn't matter. There are people representing that country. We want to pray that there will be more and that the young people there will be encouraged and grow, so that the next time we speak to them, they might say, there's 600 people now, 700 people, and so on. So that's just one thing, the worship there. But also in Yaitse, I'm all right for time, Paul. Okay. In Yaitse, these words came back from Matt, who came with the band Underground to this church a couple of years ago when we brought them over. And he says this, Yaitse is a town that is really feeling the ongoing exodus of people from Beha. Even people with good jobs are leaving because they've lost hope and believe they'll find a better future in another country. So many families are leaving that some of our school teacher friends fear they will lose their jobs in the next couple of years because of falling student numbers. However, set against this bleak picture, we are seeing exciting openings in local schools. In March and April this year, the Yaitse team took over musical lessons in four local schools to run ukulele workshops for hundreds of children. In one school, the head teacher asked if we'd run a regular after-school ukulele group. We said we could run a weekly group for 10 students, which the head teacher would advertise. The next thing we heard was that 80 students had signed up. In another school, the teacher told us that after the workshop, her students were telling her it was the best day of their lives. It is encouraging that even in a difficult situation, we're able to bring something new and exciting and build a connection with the next generation who really need to experience hope. I don't know whether we can put a few of the pictures up as well, but Becca, who was on the Skype earlier on with her husband Ivica, they work, as I say, in the south of the country in Chaplina. That's in the downstairs of the Novimos building, some of the activities they do down there. They have Bible studies and worship times and play games and so on. And then the upstairs, they have the table tennis and a pool table and so on. But it's basically a place that they can hang out. It's a place that they can just meet, a bit like your youth activity here. And Becca says this, what I feel is happening most in Novimos at the moment is wanting to really impart vision and ownership to the young people we work with. We know that they like coming to activities that we do, and the things like camps and conferences play an important part in their lives. But we also want them to know that their opinions matter and that their voices are heard. Also to equip them so that they will take on the baton of youth work ministry in Beha in the future. Camp season is coming up. We have a series of summer camps for different age groups. They go up to Emek Baraka in nearer to Sarajevo. Camp season's coming up, and we invited a group of young people from different places to join us in the planning meetings. It was really good to hear some of their ideas and for them to share some of the things which have really impacted them on previous camps. There's a huge number of teenagers who want to serve on camps and see this as a way that they can get involved helping younger generations, which is really exciting. In Chaplina, we've seen an increase in the numbers of people coming to weekly activities since the winter camp. A couple of young people from the town who were on the camp enjoyed it so much, they came back and have been telling their friends all about Novimos and the things that they do with us. On Friday evenings, we have Friday Fun Night, where young people can come for socialising, games, challenges and discussions on a Proverbs-based theme. This has been a great opportunity to go a little bit deeper with them and challenge them to think about life, morals and faith. We have lost a couple of our team members in Mostar. There is, at the moment, no full-time youth worker for Novimos in Mostar. But the work in Sarajevo and the work in Chaplina and the work in Yaitse continues with God's blessing, plans to prosper. God is on the move in Bosnia. It might only be in a very small way in comparison, but while there is light, there is hope. Sometimes when we talk about restoration, we think of our needs. We think of where we're at. And it's good that God can focus in and help us to deal with the things that perhaps are blocking our relationship with him. But please, I beg you, don't let it stop with what God is doing for you. May he restore not just us as individuals, but us as a community, as a church of believers, as a country, and for Beha, for that young Christian country, that God might continue to restore, continue to redeem, continue to rejuvenate by his Holy Spirit. Please pray for them and pray for yourselves that you might know how to be a support and a blessing to the people of that country. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share with you this morning.